Valuetown is a production of HearthSim. Find out how to support Valuetown by going to patreon.com/valuetown. What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 183 of Valuetown. I'm Jam MV, and Gara's here, of course, with me each and every week. What's up, Gara?
Not much. Playing a bunch of Hearthstone. Today I started playing a little bit of WoW because the new content is out, but mainly grinding the new season.
Nice, nice. No guests today, but you know, the nice thing about not having a guest is your camera is so clear. We don't have like another person on the show. I freaking love it.
I look like a snake.
You look like a snake. Oh, man. So, but because we don't have a guest today, guys, we're going to take a lot of questions at the end. So be ready for that. But today we still got a lot of things to talk about. We got the meta, of course, that's still changing. It seems like we got a pretty good reaction from last week. In terms of what the meta is like this week. And then we had two big events this last week. One, obviously, the EU playoffs that happened, and four people qualified from there. And then we had the Geico Gaming PAX West event that was like pros versus Joes type of thing, you know, where they'd have, you know, very well-known pros kind of go against folks that were not so known. And had a first-time winner there, which we'll be talking about in a second. And then Q&A, of course, again, we'll take some questions from email, but you can save them too in Twitch chat, and we'll read them out at the end. All right, our week in Hearthstone. So you've been playing a lot of Hearthstone, Gara. Anything particular? It's the first days, right, of the new season. Actually, how'd you finish last season? Because we haven't talked since then.
Not good. I decided to go to bed instead.
Go to bed. Okay.
Sleep. Yeah, because I'm. I realized that I'm streamer first. I stream 8 hours a day, and you basically at the end of the season you have to play 30 hours straight.
Oh my god!
Around 30 hours straight to get your finish guaranteed, and I just can't justify that. It's like it messes up your entire sleep schedule, but also your entire stream schedule. I did it for like I started doing it on the first day because of Asa finish, but I couldn't do it to try to get an NA finish.
Yeah.
So
that's
I got to like 250 or something, but that's not a finish. In Europe, everything that is not top 20 is not a finish.
Oh man!
Only top 20 counts. If you got top 50 finish, it's a fail of
Well, it's so competitive in your EU, so I can totally see that. But yeah, I know what you mean, man. Stream. I don't know how people do it. Like they stream and then they'll just play a ton. I think some people just take off, right? They just don't stream like those last couple days and they just play straight. So pretty much have to do that if you're going to try to make it in. But anyways, like this week, you know, I guess, you know, after this kind of grind at the end, anything cool you've been playing this week?
It's going well. I'm almost legend on two servers now. I got legend super fast on one server in like 1 day, and I'm 2 games away from second server legend. So after 5 days, that's like pretty good. Usually your aim is like after 6 days.
Yeah.
I didn't even play on Sunday, so that's really nice. It's going great. I'm playing Shudderwalk Shaman. It's working insanely well.
Shudderwalk Shaman. Wow. Okay. Is it the tempo one, right? Like just like the old one?
The old one?
Oh my gosh. What? Is that actually doing well? I totally missed it if it's doing well.
It's by far my best performing deck. I feel like I can beat everything. I can even beat Questrooks. So it's just a deck that can beat everything. Togwiggle, Barco Warriors are like 3-win. Whenever you face that, I can even beat token druids. I beat like every token druid I face, and that used to be also a counter decked.
Wow.
Because you play double MC tag and you have the Elza. Is it called Elza? The elemental that gives you double lightning storm. That card is such a huge buff to the deck. It's actually.
Well, who is it? Elza? What? Which one?
Elise or Elza? Like the three mana elemental that double.
Double the storm surge. You mean the Electra. The legendary, right? Yeah, that card's amazing against Token Druid because you actually get to do lightning storm twice, right? Which is perfect. I didn't. You know, I've definitely seen it a little bit, you know, like on streams, but I didn't actually realize it was good. Let me actually look at the, let's just look at the stats for this. Like, so Shutterwalk, okay. It's good. Okay, the stats look, okay, Odd Rogue.
But for Shadowwalk Shaman, the stats on Agents Replay always look super bad. Even when it was really good, it was always like 40%.
I think it's just because too many people play it badly.
That's what I think. For me, it's deck, and on Agents Replay, it looks like...
like Token Druid, like this. This is really low.
Yeah, I won every Token Druid match. But it's like you have to map out the entire match and know what you have to do.
Yeah, it sounds like the skill cap is super high.
Sorry.
I accidentally ran that video again there for like a crazy person. But so it sounds like the skill cap is super high. So we will have that soon, man. We will have that eventually, where we can actually see like how really good Shadowwalk Shamans perform versus people that are not so great. That's awesome, because I've just been doing pretty much what everybody else has been doing, playing either Token Druid or Death Rattle Hunter, or even Odd Paladin. I think it's not even a bad time to play. What it is, it's a great time to play Secret Hunter. That's what it is, because I kind of realized, and I realized that like a couple days ago, and then sure enough, I go to the site a day or two later, and it's like Secret Hunter's number one. So
but the first server, I just changed to Shadowwalk on the second server, but first server I did Legend with Tempo Mage almost exclusively.
Yep. I saw like the 90% people doing that. So you were telling me about that last week, right? Like you had a lot of success with Tempo Mage, and then...
It just punishes greed the best. It's like the best face deck in the game.
Yeah, you think? Yeah, definitely.
Like from the pure face decks... It's definitely the best ones. If you don't count Otrok, it's definitely better than Otrok in like how face energy it is. So it really punishes like greed. People are playing like, Questrok. Whenever you face that, that's a free win. That's obviously nice. But whenever you face Barker Warrior, that's an auto lose. So extremely polarized matchups. And this is what people really hate or seem to hate. It's just that, whatever deck you face,
I wouldn't say that's necessary. I mean, I think that, those decks that you mentioned were definitely true. But, when you get into the Token Druid, Odd Paladin, Zulok and stuff like that, I feel like it's not like crazy polarizing. I mean, in fact, I think the trend happened just so that they would counter Quest Rogue and things like that to just knock that out of the meta completely, at least for a week. At least the legend, the ladder meta, not so much the vent ladder. So I think that's kind of why we've seen Secret Hunter, rise to the top, because we saw this during the week, this Death Rattle, Token Druid, and Odd Pally doing super well. And I was trying to tell people like a little tip, like on in terms of like how to figure out what to play at times, especially if you're like rank one or whatever. You just look at what the most popular things are, like right here. And then you go into the matchups page, guys, and just look, top three things are like pretty much right here or close to up here. And you just look for basically the red squares, whichever has all the red squares for the same three matchups. That's what you should be playing. So that basically told me to play, Secret Hunter like a few days ago. And it looks like, that's pretty much what's happening. So the trend right now looks like it's aggro. Or just tempo, aggro, just all the way up to some mid-range. But, there's no control deck in sight here. Like, it seems to be just gone, right? Because of, just because of whatever the Quest Rogue kind of thing last week. So is that kind of what you're noticing too? I mean, you're using Shadowwalk to kind of go up against some of these decks to it successfully. But is that the trend that you're seeing against the people that you're playing?
I feel like people are playing everything across the field, like a lot of different decks. Mm-hmm. Usually you feel like, oh, I face a lot of Druids or I face a lot of Zoo.
Yeah.
But now, these past 5 days, it feels like people play everything.
Yeah.
But I feel like when it's a more aggro-ish meta, I think it feels healthier to me, at least, than when we have a control meta. Because as soon as it goes control, it goes immediately anti-control. And then it's...
And then it's what we saw. Yeah, like 2 weeks.
Anti-control versus anti-control is not very fun to play.
Yeah, and they're typically decks we talked about last week, so it's probably not worth talking too much more. It's just generally not fun decks, and decks that feel good for the
meta, like also the games take longer. Like when you play control versus aggro, the games are short, but aggro versus aggro is short too.
Yeah,
but when you go anti-control versus anti-control, you have like your 1 hour matches.
Yeah, and that's why. You might move your mic a little closer. That's why, like, it's so easy to climb the ladder whenever like aggro is really good too. People just cycling through games super fast, and just got to pick the right one. Right now I think that's what you're kind of seeing. You know, we talked about even just like what we anticipated going into, or what kind of lineups would be, you know, decent even going into the weekend. And I think just generally speaking, it is a, you know, an aggro time. Which probably is refreshing to some folks that, you know, probably like to play aggro over control. But here, anyways, I have the power rankings and the class popularity for a meta pulse, like always. So power rankings, it looks like that Warlock went up a little bit. Hunter went down a little bit. And we saw Priest get out of the cellar for the first time since this expansion started. So, pretty big news from Priest. Actually, Priest is up like almost 3% this week. So what deck is it? What is it that's causing that? Do you even know? I'm not even sure I know what deck that is.
I think it can only be Mind Blast Priest. Like if it's a more aggro meta, yeah, because Mind Blast Priest is good to aggro.
Oh, true. Yeah. That makes sense. Totally makes sense.
Like token-ish decks, like Token Druid and Zoo. Yeah. Even Hunter against Secret Hunter, like even against Deathrattle Hunter, Priest is pretty good. It just like happens to be good in the meta.
Yeah.
And not so much like, you know, Miracle Rope or whatever. Like the decks that usually counter Priest not play too much.
Yeah, the biggest drop came from Warrior. You know, like I think the time for the odd Warriors seems to have passed. You know, now you're seeing some decks that actually do pretty well. You know, I mean, odd Warrior does pretty well against some of these decks. You know, some of these aggro decks, just not all of them. And I think that's why you're starting to see, you know, Hunters and things like that starting to beat it pretty regularly. And so we saw Warrior drop down to seventh, you know, probably dropped a couple percent there.
And Warrior is not so good to this Token Druid because you run no Whirlwinds and no Baron Gaddon.
That's true. They could make adjustments to run some of those, but some of the earlier like recruitish type of, you know, Warriors, maybe they could respond with that sort of thing. Those were pretty good against Token Druids. But we'll have to see if they're, you know, the Warrior players out there do respond. Class-wise, popularity, I mean, it's totally polarized at this point. Look at the discrepancy. It's top four have, like, what is this, rough math? It's like almost 60% of the entire class, or just class makeup right now. So it's quite a huge gap between Rogue and Mage here. So, it's not even 60%, it's 70%. Yeah, 70% of all the games. Let's see, Priest is still at 3%. Paladin's at 3.9%. That's actually surprising to me, because Odd Paladin's quite good right now. So I figured a lot of people would be playing it, especially for like a short period of time. It was like a counter to, you know, the whole Death Rattle Hunter Zoolockish time, you know. And that being at 3.9%, man, that's really low.
It's very interesting to see. For me, it's weird to see Mage as the lowest power ranking, because I did so insanely well with Temple Mage. But I think because of the rise of Secret Hunter, it changes the meta. Secret Hunter is becoming the most popular deck because a lot of the pros got to legend with it, like Fino was using it, Mazi was using it, Boar Control is using it, and it's a more refined list, and it's kind of like a deck that does well versus everything. It's interesting to see the class popularity of Hunter going down, even though my impression is it's going up.
Yeah, me too. Well, I mean, there's a red arrow there, but it didn't really go down that much. You know, it just went down in ranking. So don't get confused with that, because that can be a little misleading. You know, so, you know, Mage 47, like it being in last place didn't mean it really dropped that much. It just meant that Priest went up a ton. Like Priest went up like 3% pretty much. So that's more indicative. I mean, we're seeing a pretty close, you know, it's like 51.2%, 47.3%. That's pretty healthy, you know, in terms of like a gap between the classes. It's not too bad.
Finally Rogue going down in percentage. So it seems like that Hunter is really just countering Rogue finally.
Yeah.
Like else, yeah, Rogue was just too popular, I think, last month. Rogue and Druid.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like Druid, just because Druid has so many archetypes. Druid will always have a deck that will be good in the meta. Some sort of like either token Druid or Mali Druid.
They're so lucky. Yeah. There's today so I many faced, tools. It's crazy the amount of tools.
Yeah, today I faced Taunt Druid again. So that is
I always say Taunt. Dude, no matter when I play, I will always run into somebody that plays Taunt Druid. And it's the longest freaking game ever. But actually, now that I'm playing more aggro decks, I just quit. Like, I don't even bother. It's like, it's not even worth, like, trying or waiting for that. Well, actually, I'll wait till the Spreading Plague, and then I'll quit. That's basically how it goes. But, yeah, Druid's just, there's just so many different tools that it will take a long time for Druid not to be good again. Has Druid ever been bad?
No.
It's never been bad, right? The history of Hearthstone... Druid has never been bad.
You could only argue in the very, very first months, but when I won the first DreamHack, I used Druid. I used like the first Ram Druid. This is like before we had any Druid meta deck.
So oh, that was before Savage, right? It's combo, right? Like
no, people haven't even discovered it then.
Yeah, that was before that.
It was in the game, but people haven't discovered the deck.
Well, and was that before the Strife Crow Yeti midrange Druid?
Yeah, before that.
It was even before that.
No, I think that was ESG and Fight Night. That was before the first DreamHack.
Okay, because that was like the first Druid that I remember at least.
But even that, even that deck was good.
Yeah, totally. I mean, like back when we had broken cards, like Shattered Sun Clerics that, were 3-3 and did, but they're just ridiculous stuff, right?
People played Ancient Watcher plus Keeper in the
Yeah. And Dark Iron Dwarf, he used to be super good, like crazy good. So yeah, Druid's always been good. Point is, and there's been a little bit of some hints at maybe nerfs to Wild Growth and Nourish. You know, like that's something we didn't talk about last week. The Ixar hinted at is we might see some changes to that, which would be pretty good. It's not that we don't have any supplements for them now. You know, we have Biology Project and other ramping cards, so. I think people would just use those instead. But yeah, Druid is set up to be good for a while.
Yeah, design-wise, you can't really create new ramp cards that are better than Wild Growth or Nourish.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what they want to do. They're trying to make these like slightly weaker ramp cards so people go away from them. But people will always play Nourish and Wild Growth. So that's kind of boring in a way because people play these cards for years.
Yeah.
And it's hard to create new cards that will see play in Druid.
To be honest, like I'm okay with that. I mean, it's one of those things where there's identity that, like druids are known for that. You know, ramp druid, I feel like is completely, or ramp period, obviously, right? Is completely connected with druid. And, having a deck that will always have the ability to play your stupid big cards, in the collection, I feel like is a cool thing. And having the same class be that is okay with me.
I wasn't talking about that, but different ramp cards, obviously the ramp aspect, but to create different ramp cards that are like that you would play over Vicro for Nourish.
Yeah.
It's impossible. You can't make a better Wild Growth.
Yeah, true.
There was like this time where people played Darnassus Aspirant, right? Mm-hmm. So it felt different. It was still ramp, but it was so different. And yeah, right now
it wasn't super good at the same time, right? Like I feel like Darnassus Aspirant was a really well designed card. Yeah, so
yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah,
but right now you can't make ramp cards that are just stupidly broken because that's what you have to do. People would replace Wild Growth. I don't think people will ever replace Wild Growth. You would just add Wild Growth in addition. I just can't imagine like there's like a better Wild Growth in the game and then you're like, I'm gonna cut Wild Growth for this.
Well, I don't think there will ever be I don't think so. Like Wild Growth has always been one of the strongest cards, so I don't think they would ever make something that's better than it.
Biology Project was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But people tested it in the beginning, like even in Big Druid. But it turns out giving your opponent anything is bad. So
yeah, is that the conclusion at this point? Is just that it's not good because of that?
Nobody plays it anymore. Mm-hmm. Like but when you went to Aegis Reaper, a lot of people added like one in Big Druid, I think, was the main deck, but I think now you don't even play one anymore in that deck, and that was like the last deck. Because giving you, like, you just capitalize as Druid on being ahead in mana, and giving your opponent mana, that's not the strength of Druid.
Well,
Druid is,
I mean, it's not so much that Biology Project should be played on like turn one or anything like that. It's just, you know, those turn nines for Ramp Druid are so good, right? And I feel like I'd be surprised if they cut both of them, you know, because just still getting to that turn nine is really, really good with Oakheart and everything. So, I mean, that's interesting, because I still play with at least one in my Ramp Druid, so I didn't really notice that trend happening. Somebody says it's played in Wild, though.
Wild is so different.
Yeah, but isn't the same problem, though? I would think that giving my opponent even more mana in Wild is even more dangerous than it is in Standard.
We have, like, way, way, way better defensive tools when you have Wild.
Oh, okay.
So it doesn't matter.
All right, let's take a look at the top decks here that we've got this week, or at least for the last 24, 36 hours here. And actually, let me blow it up a little bit. Not very many surprises here. I'm actually surprised Odd Warrior is actually on there. Or at least there is an Odd Warrior on there. But we got Token, Druid, Death Rattle Hunter, Zulok, Odd Warrior, and Malagus Druid, too. Malagus Druid's always just sitting there waiting for its time. And there's always one that always, you know, seems to pop up, at least in very short durations. So you see anything that stands out here in terms of any cards or any versions
first
of these decks?
The name. Because I find it funny that this is also an Aegis Reaper called Malagus Druid. This is basically Torgwegel Druid with Malagus.
Yeah, it's a hard one to decipher, okay? Like, yeah.
Malagus Torgwegel Druid. This is also the version I was playing in the end of last season. It's just, it has everything. Like, it is basically Malagus Druid. It's the same deck. Why choose?
Exactly. Just throw it all in there and it just will work.
It's the best version in the mirror because you can just kill them and do everything. But also, you have this alternative win condition. You can just finish someone off with Maligo. So I think that's the most optimal version of Druid right now. The only thing that annoyed me a little bit is that you only run one MC tech against Hunter. MC tech is so strong right now. This is why Shadowhawk Shaman is doing so well for me, because you run double MC tech. In every single matchup, you need MC tech, I feel like. MC tech is deciding so many games.
I've been running double MC tech for months now. So Odd Warrior, whatever. You know, I pretty much just run...
Hunter's the number one problem.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
What
really
cards
good.
Do you tech against Hunter? It comes down to just play MC tech and get their cube or their axe or whatever. Odd Warrior still being popular.
I don't think Odd Warrior, I played it for a little bit, like at the beginning of the season. It just felt weaker. I mean, there's just so many Hunters, and it's that matchup is, if somebody actually plays Hunter decently or it gets Rexxar, you know, relatively early, you just lose that matchup. So I found myself playing Hunter every other game and really struggling.
I was playing quite a few decks. I was playing Odd Quest Warrior, and I think Odd Quest Warrior is just superior to Odd Warrior. I would never play Odd Warrior again. Mm-hmm. Like, normal.
I mean, it beats Odd Warrior in the mirror, and it does better against Hunter,
too.
Yeah.
You just free win the mirror.
Yeah.
It's much better against Questrogue, because Questrogue was a turn one concede matchup.
Yeah.
And now you just win. But you're also favorite against Big Spell Mage, which was like also a bad matchup for Odd Warrior.
Yeah.
But it's a super favorite matchup for Quest Warrior.
It's still bad against Hunter, though, right?
It's okay, though, because you can just kill them. But that's how you have to play Bakugan.
You mean just
anyways.
like fireballing face? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Like,
that's true.
But because you have the removal compared to regular Quest Warrior, you run out of removal and stuff. But this deck has still like Reckless Flurry, which is a big deal. And you run double MC tech as well in that list. So you have good tools. So it's not worse. So I feel like it's just a superior deck. You just don't need Dr. Boom. And the improved hero power is so good too. It feels like a very refined version of Control Warrior right now. Like these Odd Warrior lists, there's so many variants of it, and they don't feel polished like a a clean deck like let's say Mali Ghost Druid. Mali Ghost Druid looks like a perfect list. And I think Odd Warrior list seems like a perfect list.
I feel like with Odd Warrior, you can weight it a little heavier, you know, at the top or, you know, low mana curve, or you can weight it a little heavier, more greedy side, right? And that's kind of why there's these different versions of them. But yeah, I agree with the quest though. You know, I think that hero power can just win you games even by luck, you know, and just a lot of these classes don't have the heal that are popular right now. So,
Shadow Walk Shaman as well. Like there's a lot of these matchups where as regular back warrior, you just have no chance. And with quest,
I know that. I definitely lost like a good number of games just trying to play the regular one. Okay, but you know, for the most part, I feel like the meta's settled pretty heavily. You know, it's like it's moving in a very predictable fashion. You know, and we're not seeing any new stuff happening. You know, currently, I'll still run into some paladins sometimes. That's, you know, either running the just the combo or even some weird mech version of it. But that's about all the new things I've seen recently. I don't really see many new things anymore. I mean, we're talking about, you know, if you look at this tier list, oh my God, this tier list is like insane. You know, like it's if I show it to you here, I mean, look how many things are in tier two. There's literally 20 decks in tier two. I mean, that's like, I mean, so I guess the question for you at this point is, when we were talking about Witchwood, that was a great thing, right? Super good to have like so many of these decks in tier one and tier two. Now, you know, another expansion of this, is this still a super good thing in your opinion? Having this many viable decks?
Yeah. Like, what's the downside of having like so asking. Many?
You know, like, I think asking.
For example, my gaming experience today, I was playing Shadowwalk Shaman and I was having fun and I didn't face other Shadowwalk Shamans, maybe one. It's like I can play my deck that I enjoy and do well. Because it's one of those 20 tier 2 decks.
You know? Exactly,
like someone
right?
can play even Shaman and do well. And right. like
that's
nobody
pretty crazy
else
even Shaman's good right now too. I guess it makes sense given that, you know, these type of tempo-ish decks are doing well. High value tempo decks.
Sea Giant is pretty good versus other token decks.
Oh, okay. Makes sense too. Yeah, pretty much everything is even Warlock somewhere in here too, right? Yeah, there is. I mean, any deck you can think of is probably in the top two tiers right now. Let's see what's actually not in the top two tiers. These are all the losers, like basically. These are all the ones that you should not be playing. And it's like, Big Spell Mage.
If I'm not playing Big Spell Mage, you should not be playing. Big
yeah,
Spell
exactly.
Mage. I'm such a believer in the deck, and like
Big Spell Mage is worse than Death Rattlehunt Rogue? Wow. Okay. That's pretty bad. That's
what's your problem with Death Rattle Rogue?
I don't know. It's just, I felt like Big Spell Mage is better than it. It's just, I'm surprised it's actually worse.
Look, Shadow Shaman is even below that.
I know. There's that quest warrior. Also, so your strategy, I know what your strategy is when you stream. You just play tier 3 decks. That's all you do. I get it. I get it now. Okay. You try to make tier 3 decks good. That's a good theme for a stream, dude.
Totally make Rick one with Shadowwalk Shaman.
That's dude. The Korra style, man. Korra playing Shadowwalk that entire month. I don't know how she did that. It's crazy. Okay, well, why don't we talk about EU playoffs? So that happened this past weekend, and man, I don't know how many days it was—like 3 or 4 days of it. But we got, we finally got a chance to see this is the first region, obviously, doing the playoffs, and lots of our favorite players playing in it. But not very many of them got through, to be honest. I mean, I'd say Sentinel, and I know a lot of people in Nomoyen too, were probably the two most notable folks that ended up getting it. So congratulations, Sentinel. Oh, spoilers. Congratulations to Sentinel, Moyen, Renmen, and Hatul for qualifying for the World Championships. But season championships. But for the most part, we saw a lot of streamers or popular pro players struggle, we talked about it last week as to what we, you guys were predicting would be the type of lineup that would do well. And you guys were right on because the aggro lineup was just destroying.
I think my quote was at least 50% of the top 8
mm-hmm.
players will have an aggro lineup.
And they pretty much did. Yeah. pretty much did, you know. So it just reflects, this has gotten the one time where I think the event meta and the ladder meta looks pretty similar. Saw a lot of Token Druid, Paladin, Zulok, just a ton of it all weekend long. Anything you pull from it? I mean, I know you didn't watch the entire thing, but anything you maybe comments or anything that you noticed about it?
Who of those people, like even like the known players, actually know how what kind of lineup to bring to these kind of events? And it's quite shockingly to see that people that put so much work into it to qualify, especially for your prelims, it's the hardest tournament in the entire year to qualify for. Like, you need so many points and you need so many months in back to back of dedication and just being good. You can't just be like, okay, I'm gonna qualify, you know. Like, even if you're good at the game, it's so hard. Like, you have the competition is so crazy, and then the people that end up qualifying, how many just bring, in my opinion, a pretty bad lineup where I could say, yeah, there's no way you can qualify in a Conquest format. I don't know how much I can say because I'm also playing tournaments, but like, there's a lot of like Questrogue lineups, for instance, and I think you can't ever be successful with it I don't want to go too much into it.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was very obvious for me that aggro lineups will be performing really well, and I'm not surprised to see. So it's nice to see then for me, like, who has a good lineup and who hasn't, and who's doing well, and seeing new people with good lineups doing well.
Yeah.
It's nice to see, like, you know, that they get rewarded for tryharding and being good at a game and getting an edge even over people that are just in the scene for so long.
Yeah. So you can kind of see the breakdown. You know, I think Quest Rogues seem to be the thing that people are targeting, and, you know, at least had the most success targeting. I mean, the people that had Quest Rogue, they really, really struggled the entire time.
And another problem is, like, but this is the state of Hearthstone. I don't want to be always like the scapegoat for being the realist. I think a lot of the good players that didn't make it, I really have to point it out, because a lot of the good players did make it and they're not bad at the game, is they had, like, let's say Hoi, for example. Hoi had, in my opinion, one of the best lineups you can have. He has, like, Token Druid, Odd Paladin, Odd Rogue, and Zulok, and he didn't make it. Yeah. It's because, how do you get an edge against a mirror lineup? It's so hard. Like, you can't really outplay, like, Odd Paladin mirrors or Zoom mirrors, because there's so many of these crazy openers you can have with, like, Happy Ghouls and Kalasev. And those cards have such an insane impact on the game. That draw RNG in the first three turns really decides a lot of the games. I haven't watched a lot of these matches, but I really can see that,
I enjoy the token matchup, the token druid matchup. I think that's a very fascinating, you know, matchup. But I do agree with, like,
Token Druid is probably the most banned deck in the aggro mirror. Probably both players ban Token Druid because it's good versus aggro.
Yeah. But I agree with, like, Odd Paladin and Zulok. I mean, that's just whoever draws better. Like, you know, whoever draws the right cards, you know, like, at the right time, or it has that curve that's gonna be really nice. And like you said with Zulok, Happy Ghoul, and those kind of plays, or just whoever gets those is just going to have just too big of an advantage early game to overcome. But Hoi had a pretty good line. How did Hoi do, actually? I don't even know, like, what he ended up. But look at Hatul, though. Look at this lineup here.
Control as well.
Yeah.
But Control has a good lineup. Here's the full aggro lineup. I don't know. They didn't qualify. So I don't know if they just... I can imagine, because I know the aggro mirrors right now, they are not that crazy difficult to play, and they really come down to draw RNG just because of cards like LSF. And Odd Paladin is so... And a lot of these decks are so reliant on who goes first, who goes second. So I can imagine that, drawing.
I thought Boar's lineup was really good, too. I was actually a little surprised he didn't get all the way through. Yeah. Like, he had Secret Hunter in it, too. I'm sure they banned that, though. They banned Secret Hunter. See, Renmin. I forget what Renmin had. Okay, here we go. Oh, he actually won with Quest Rogue, actually. Renmin.
That's insane to me.
Yeah. I mean, look at this lineup. Wow. I mean...
Maybe he dodged all the aggro lineups.
Well, Renman had a pretty control lineup, and or you know, it's kind of control, anti-control. And then it looks like Hatul had a, I don't even know what you call this. How would you describe this lineup right here? I that's like a mixture of everything, actually. Except it's, there's nothing aggressive in it, I guess.
It's pretty anti-aggro, but with a Togwego Druid instead of Maligos Druid.
Okay, yeah, that's fair enough. That's a good way to describe it, yeah.
Did he make it?
Yeah, he made it.
That's a good lineup.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, this is just, this is a good Conquest lineup he has, so I'm not surprised to see that doing well.
Yeah.
Like, this is something I would have probably played, something that Tatu played, if I would have went to it. But yeah, I'm not good enough, so...
Yeah, so congrats to those four guys for getting in. And the next, I mean, the next region is this week, right? It's usually back to back to back, I think, right? I have to look at the schedule.
I think 1 week is there's one ACT two stop in between.
Oh, is it? Okay, maybe that's where Jay was, because you know Jay was saying he had to go somewhere. So I think, yeah, maybe that's what it is. If not this weekend, guys, it's the next weekend. I have to actually look at the calendar. I always like I always have to look like on Thursdays just to see. But yeah, definitely be sure to check it out. Like it's definitely great seeing you know, top players obviously can going at it with these decks. I always seem to learn one new thing, you know, each time I watch it. But you know, we had two events this past weekend. The other one was the Geico PAX West tournament. A little bit different, obviously, just because there's you know a theme to it. You know, this year they had, you know, they usually invite people, but this year they specifically had, I would say, pro players against, you know, non-pro players type of matchups, like all across the board. So in the end, we saw Terrence M end up winning his first event like ever, which is pretty amazing given how good of a player Terrence has been for a while. And it doesn't actually seem that long ago he finished second at DreamHack, but it's been like a year and a half, I think, since that time. But, you know, congrats to him. He seems super happy, you know, at the end to finally get that first win. That first win usually is, I don't know, it probably feels like the hardest one to get. So it is definitely great to see him succeed with that. He, again, played an aggro lineup pretty much, like Zoo, Paladin, you know, Token Druid, ended up winning that way. Did you catch any of that event at all or no?
No, but there's like this trend that people that are struggling for a long time, at some point in their career, they're like, screw it, I'm just going to go full aggro now. And then they start doing well. It actually happened the same with Casey, by the way, as well. Like he was always a control player, but this year, or like by the end of last year, he started just bringing full aggro lineups, and he's just crushing it. He's one of the best performing.
He didn't bring, so this week he brought Taunt Druid, Egg Recruit Hunter, Big Spell Mage, and Miracle Rogue. So
how can you bring Big Spell Mage?
I don't know. Miracle is pretty rough too, pretty tough right now. But you know, so anyways, yeah. So that was pretty good. I think Saiyan did pretty well too in the tournament. I think he made the semis. I think just Saiyan made the semis too. It's definitely fun. I was, you know, watching Saiyan, like I there were a couple games where I just felt like he just came back, like, which is a really great play, and he ended up, like, you know, turning some of the games around. So it was definitely you know, I learned a few things even just watching him play. That was really cool. But yeah, so another cool you know, event for Geico at the PAX event. Hopefully they'll continue doing that. Doesn't sound like they're going to be stopping anytime soon. They've been doing it for years now. So that's really, really great. But yeah, so that's, you know, that's pretty much a wrap up for the events this past week. You know, before we kind of move on, you know, probably get to some Q&A here again. Like, we're going to have like a lot of time for Q&A this week. Oh, you going to say add something or wasn't sure?
There was some sort of patch today. People were like,
oh, was there? Oh.
Yeah, but I haven't seen any notes anywhere. Like, they did patch something. Maybe they put something in the game, but like, people were expecting some nerfs coming. But
yeah,
you know, when nerfs are happening, they're announcing it pretty far ahead, right?
Yeah,
like 3 weeks or something.
They're not that bad. they're not. They definitely tell us about nerfs beforehand. So maybe it was just the Tavern Brawler, or I don't know. Something.
Do you expect any nerfs anytime soon? I have a feeling.
Yeah, I think so. I think.
No, I have a feeling that there will not be any nerfs. like anytime.
I think that last nerf, you know, in the timing of it, just how perfectly it was timed, it was like right in the middle of the expansion, that it just made me think that it was premeditated, you know. And I think that how well it went too, it literally like just rejuvenated, you know, just the meta. Like it completely was like a restart of the meta, I felt like. That I feel it would be very wise for them to do it again. And, you know, I think they noticed how well it went last time. And there is some hints of maybe a nerf, you know, to some of these like wild growth cards and stuff that, no, I think it would be great if they did. And I think they will. My guess is that they are going to do something. It may not be huge, but it's going to be something.
I mean, no matter what they do, it will insanely change the game. You see that all the win percentages are, of all the classes are so close together. Like it goes from 51 to 48%. Yeah. So any small change of a popular played card will just change everything.
Will it change everything, or will it just kind of like, I mean, it will just polarize it a little bit more, because obviously something is getting worse.
Because people always play like decks that counter the meta, right? So if a deck that is good in the meta and it is not played anymore, then automatically the counter decks are not played, and then a different best deck, it just changes everything.
Ooh, Final had a good one. Giggling Inventor, 6 mana instead. Oh my god, you know how much things would change if Giggling Inventor just wasn't played anymore? I think a lot of things would change. I mean, at least the strength of some of these decks would go down a bit. I mean, they might still be played, but there's you know, winning rates, I think, would be...
Like, right now, I don't think that Giggling Inventor is even that popular. It was definitely super popular last month, but right now, just because... Is it that popular? Okay, Tokens replace it.
It's popular.
You can always replace it, I feel like. Like, okay, then I go away from Giggling and play... Like, these Token Druid lists with Serenite Chain Gang that are played.
Oh, okay, sure.
I feel like you, like, even Odd Warrior, you can just not play Giggling, play something else. And Deathrattle Hunter saw play even without Giggling. But now, that's Secret Hunter does play.
Like, an Odd Warrior, like, what would you play? Like,
but I always played without Giggling, because people played Blood Knights in Odd Rocks.
Yeah, and Mossy Horrors and things like that,
Mossy Horror, I guess. Like, yeah, there's so many hate cards for Giggling right now, I don't think it's even that strong. But Secret Hunter is more proper than Deathrattle Hunter and doesn't play Gigglings, right? Like, even Shaman obviously doesn't play all the even decks, like even Warlock and whatnot. And does Odd Paladin or Odd Rogue really need a Giggling Inventor? I don't know. These decks saw already play before it.
Yeah.
I feel like it's not a card. I think it's a very annoying card, but it's not like a card my opponent plays Giggling Inventor and I will lose the game.
No, it's one of those things where I think if it was changed, you'd essentially be freeing up 3 cards a game. You know, like the person that plays it first off with 2, and then the person that counters it, you know, with the Mossy Aura or whatever, or Blood Knight. You basically, those cards are completely worthless, like if you don't have it, right?
But so, people would still play the same decks.
Yeah, they would play the same decks, but it'd be interesting to see, you know, 3 new cards, you know, being added to even those decks. Like, would it be exactly the same defensive type of card, or would it be...
The only deck that might get killed, which would be cool, would be Questrook, because I think Questrook really relies on the penis of...
Oh, please nerf... please nerf Giggling Inventor then.
But isn't it that? Like, I think that's...
I agree. It's a very important part of that deck, just to delay stuff, right?
And yeah, it being 6 mana would be a huge deal.
Yeah.
But like you said, no more Mossy Horrors. Yeah, the thing is, Mossy Horror is so strong right now because of Spreading Plague and Giggling Inventor.
Yeah.
And Shamans and Zoom.
It's pretty insane how good it is.
And you can proc your own eggs.
You just clear... What was that?
You proc your own eggs as well in Egg Hunter. It's so stupid.
It's just insane, actually, in how many instances it's good. Definitely underrated. Even though people play it, I still feel like it's underrated in some way, weird way.
Yeah.
Like, people don't talk about it enough. Like, it's so good.
Yeah. It's oftentimes you want to play it, even though you have, like, already 6 drops in your deck. And you're like,
I know, right?
Like in Evenlock, I've seen Evenlocks with Black Knight, Skulking Geist, Mossy Horrors, Double Dread Infernal. What else is there? Like all the 6 drops. Like, are you kidding me? Like Siphon Soul.
that entire deck is counters. Like, it's pretty funny to see, but it just shows you. It just shows you how you know, powerful, or how much value those cards have. And you know, when you can swing the deck that way, you know.
Oh, some hunters even play double Mossy Horror. which is so crazy to think about. Yes, that one must be horror. You're like, because you get owned by the first one, then you're like, there's no way I'm going to play around the second Mercy Horror, right? I lost the game because of second Mercy Horror. It was like, then I went like double Samurai Chain Gang.
Oh, man.
Obviously, there's never going to be a second Mercy Horror. I mean, come on. And then, bam, second Mercy Horror.
Yeah, you know the meta is pretty crazy when people can run two Mercy Horrors, or at least it's so wide. Crazy wide, right? Yeah, in a Hunter deck. It's a little bit different in a Hunter deck than it is, typically speaking. But I wonder if they anticipated that. You know, like, I have a feeling they didn't. I mean, I think they probably knew that it was, obviously a counter to Giggling, but they probably, I don't know, didn't see this Death Rattle Hunter being maybe as crazy as it is right now.
I love counterplay cards, man.
Yeah.
Like, cards like Mercy Horror, there should be so much more of that. Like, not just these super trashy ones. The one that does, like, 3 damage to every damaged minions. Like, the Poor Man's Deadman's... the Poor Man's Barangadon, the card that I revealed, actually.
Yeah.
The 6/6 or whatever.
Yeah.
There should be, like, playable ones, like Mossy Horror, like, way more of it, definitely. Like.
Yeah, I like the fact that they keep people honest. You know, like, just the fact that they exist and they are being played to some degree really makes you have to second-guess, playing a certain deck, first off, and then secondly, just like how you play at the time. Like, do you just commit? It's like an outright risk, right? Like, that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's why I don't see Giggling Inventor as a problem at all, because you get owned by MC Tech, Blood Knight, and Mostly Horror. And all three.
But
are
that's
insane.
How good. But the reason they're being played has somewhat to do with Giggling Inventor. That's why they're
true,
even viable.
But there's counterplay to it, so who cares?
Yeah, yeah.
So
sure.
That's always how I feel. But like nerfing BGH to 5 mana, and then you face 3 mana giants, like turn 3 giant. That's a problem. Then I'm like, okay, stepping forward and being like, that's a problem. Like, I have no card that deals with it. That sucks. But if I have, like, these crazy tools that swing the game so hard that I win the game myself after you play this OP card, then I'm fine with it.
Yeah, totally. Okay, well, guys, I want to remind you guys, we are, we have a Patreon for Valuetown. You can go to patreon.com/Valuetown and participate in that if you want to support us and help us continue doing the show. We always like to take time to thank some of the folks that have been doing this for a long time. So our legendary producer, Mike T., as well as Bryce L., Dave C., Michael O., Graham S., Two Comma Kid, Cameron M., Paul H., Nicholas B., Davisaurus, Nick B., Michael S., Richard G., and Chris C. That's not me. Thank you so much, guys, for supporting, as always. And I remind folks, too, that our show is an hsreplay.net show. So go to hsreplay.net, check out the stats today, and you can, of course, end up picking the same decks that all these pros are getting to legend with, and changing the meta each time. Or so pick the right deck for you, basically, at your rank and region. You can always find that there. Okay, well, it's time for some Q&A, and surprisingly, Ahmed N doesn't even have a question today. We have one actually from Jason R instead. So he says, so now that we have 2 expansions out this year and the meta has settled, if you were to recommend legendaries from free-to-play players to craft to get max value, and if you exclude the obvious, like Ganon, Baku, and Whizbang, which ones would you suggest to get max value over the next year and a half? It'll be pointless to craft anything rotating out at the end of the year, of course. Yeah, so anyways, what are the best legendaries to get the most out of the remainder of this Year of the Raven?
Floop is number one, for sure.
Okay, yeah.
And every druid deck, every single one, and there's like 5 tier 1 druid decks. Definitely will be my number one legendary. Like, is it from the entire year?
I mean, it's until the next rotation, right? So,
like, do the decays count? Like, all decays? I think Rexxar is...
Oh, decays? No, DK. Yeah, decays aren't going to be around for that much longer. Yeah. So, I mean, you could make an argument for it if you want, but I don't think you're probably going to get very much out of that.
Yeah. So
maybe in the first 2 expansions, I guess maybe we frame it like that. Like, which ones are the best in the first 3 expansions, right? Like
the most recent ones, right?
Yeah, the most recent expansions, which would probably be the best. I mean, the heroes, right? The heroes are quite good. Dr. Boom, Hagatha. Yeah,
he said that, right? Those are the obvious ones.
No, he said Gen, Baku, and Whizbang. Yeah. So
yeah, Dr. Boom, definitely.
Yeah, the two heroes. I'm trying to think of any of the other legends that are class legends. Like Shaw and...
Does Druid have any other legendaries?
Well, Floop. Well, they have the... I mean, besides Floop. Yeah.
If Hadronox still stays, then definitely Hadronox.
Hadronox, I think, is going to be rotated out, right? So,
Lich King? Does Shaw stay? Shaw stays, yeah.
Shaw's a Whispering Woods thing, right? So
definitely.
Shaw will be... You know, Shaw hasn't had quite as much impact as I thought he would. I mean, he's definitely good, you know, at times, but, you know, he's not quite as good as I thought he was going to be.
Oh, yeah, Project 9.
Oh, yeah, Project 9, the secret thing. Yeah.
Because it plays a lot of these classic cards, right, plus this card, like all the secrets. I mean, I think you will always play, like, or you will always be able to play a Hunter deck with
Project 9. Resiliax is a good one, too. That one's, that's an underrated card, for sure. Like, I think people... like appreciate it whenever they get it, but they don't really think about it beforehand. You know, it's like, okay, if I have an Omega assembly or whatever, I want Ziliax, but to actually play Ziliax, you know, like people probably don't think about it quite as much, even though most of the odd warriors do play it.
Overrated is like, if you enjoy fun, then maybe Mechatoon, because Mechatoon decks will be better, not worse. And they're like, like almost playable, but that, because like the thing is, if you craft Mechatoon, there's so many different decks you can try and make
it. I wouldn't recommend that to a free-to-play player, though.
Oh, free-to-play?
Yeah.
Yeah, but none of the legendary spells, except the Zoo one. Maybe the Zoo one is not, honestly, not too
Solarian,
bad.
Because, yeah.
Because Zoo is a pretty cheap deck, and it's always, like, good. Especially for newer players, Zoo is always, like, playable. And, yeah, the one mana... Yeah, sure, right? I mean, the one mana legendary spell, sure.
I mean, free-to-play, I would probably look at non-class cards, right, for value. Like, what are some of the non-class legends that might be...
Oh, Electra is also safe craft if you want to play Shaman. That's for Shaman, sure.
Yeah.
Because Shadowwalk stays as well. So definitely Shadowwalk.
Mm-hmm. Let me see. Yeah, okay, Shadowwalk, we got... here's the list of legendaries. So kind of go through them. So if we look at only neutral cards... Okay, these are what we're talking about. All right. Zola. I think Zola's gone too, right? Pretty soon. Azalina? Oof. King Togwaggle? Is it worth it? Is it worth getting the King Togwaggle? Yeah, there's not that many to choose from, really. Okart? That's so specific. Yeah, there's not that many to choose from a neutral standpoint. But class cards only. Here we go. Kingsbane. Like, is Kingsbane worth it?
It's so specific. It's such a high skill. Definitely not for a new player. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It's one of the hardest decks to play in.
Yeah.
And it requires so many DK. And Valera is rotating out, so no Kingsbane.
We got Stargazer, Luna.
Shadowhawk, though. It's very good.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that...
And wait, Joffrey? Question. Joffrey stays? Then definitely Joffrey.
Which one? Oh, this Godfrey. One? Godfrey? Godfrey.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I call him Joffrey. It's so much.
I feel like we barely see him anymore because, like, control Warlock.
But it's still such a powerful thing in the past. Yeah, it's just because Warlock is not that great.
Yeah,
but it's like one of those 20 tier 2 decks. It's still playable. Like Sifka gets like top 20 legend with like control Warlock, easy peasy. It's one of those 20 tier 2 decks which you can play.
Yeah, Tarum. Somebody suggested Tarum, but Tarum's going to be gone soon too. So that one's. A tough one, I think, to try to...
And you get Terran from Stonehill Defenders. I mean, come on.
Bro. Yeah, yeah. That's true.
It.
It's very true. That's kind of like what I was saying with Ziliax. You can get like it from Omegas and you're fine. Poor Priest. I don't think Priest has anything I would want.
Well, we don't want Priest.
Yeah, we don't want Priest. Oh, man.
Just enchant the class for
bad,
some free
bad times. Yeah. Okay, any
I
other
wonder how many, more I questions? I wonder how many people would disenchant the class for like 1,000 dust. Like, if you could do it.
Disenchant like, a class?
1,000 dust?
You literally disenchant the entire class cards? That would be brutal, man.
But for like a low dust amount, like 1,000 dust. Like,
dude, show your class hate.
No, it would be interesting to see how many would do it. Like, I don't know, man.
I think, I mean, that would, God, that would make my heart drop if I think disenchanted all of one class. Even if I don't play it that much, it'd be like, oh, God, that would hurt. It hurt really, really bad. Okay, some more questions, guys? Anybody? Let me see. You can check. Let's see, email here, see if there's anything else. Go ahead and ask in chat, guys, if you guys have any questions. It's been, you know, kind of a quiet week outside of the tournament, so not as much to go over. Let me see. I don't even look to see if there's anything.
There were like only like a bunch of artifact news.
Oh yeah, artifact. So we're going to talk about artifact. I feel like everybody's retweeting artifact codes right now.
I'm doing it. No, but we can actually do one interesting. The model of artifact, what they want to do. I don't know if you read about that. Like compared to Hearthstone, is very interesting. Is that they want to give like every player like 10 packs and the same starting decks, and everything else in the game is only unlockable through trading or through money. But you cannot unlock any more cards for like playing. And that's like such a bad.
That doesn't model. Sound good. Like,
yes,
that
exactly.
Doesn't sound good for free to play players. That sounds terrible.
It's like, horrible. Yes.
Yeah. So
yes.
It's not free to play then. It's not at all, right? Like,
no.
You can't even earn you. So you can't earn virtual currency.
You can trade.
Yeah. But like, can you earn virtual currency to do something with that? Like, really? That's how it is? That would be terrible. God, that would be really bad if that's.
I mean, we're still like almost 3 months away from the launch, but this is like the current.
Have you played it a bunch? Like you got one of the early.
No, I'm one of those 20 retweets. Dude, hook me up.
What?
I want to play so badly. Like, dude, it reminds me. It's true story. True story. I didn't get a Hearthstone beta key.
Oh my God.
And I tried so bad to get a Hearthstone beta key. Like I did all the Trump giveaways.
No.
All the mass retweets, I did all of them. And I got my first Hearthstone account when everyone else got it. And I won the first tournament I entered, like all of them, actually.
Well, I guess I feel kind of bad because I have one. I have a beta key.
No!
I've had for like,
I feel like
maybe
the
almost
same
2 months now. Yeah. But
and I've tried for 2 years.
You know what was cool about it is that they were, you know, they, for a long time, they were running like these beta tournaments. You know, the Valve team. So everybody that had a beta key could actually enter in these like tournaments that there was prize money for. I'm not sure a lot of people, you know, knew that or not, but yeah. So they were really trying to test out, you know, just kind of the competitive aspect of it. But I played it a little bit. I haven't gotten a chance to really dive into it. It's kind of overwhelming at first, to be honest. Like this whole, those of you that are not familiar with Artifact, basically what they're doing is they're combining, you know, like Dota with a card game. So it's like a MOBA in terms of, you know, you have these lanes and there's basically three lanes and then you have your cards that you have to like use like on these three lanes. And then there's like the objective obviously in these three lanes is to kill whatever is equivalent to like a boss in Hearthstone. And, you know, it's like a tower, right? Like in MOBAs, they're the towers and stuff like that. So that's pretty much what it is. And I mean, there's different complexity. There's like heroes and things like that you can add to the lanes, but it's way more complex than Hearthstone. Like at least my first impression of it is it's way more complex than Hearthstone. It's interesting.
I will play it for sure. But mm-hmm. What I was worried about is it feels spectator wise. It feels to me like Gwent. When I was watching Gwent and I was playing Gwent, I had no clue what the hell is going on.
Right.
And I feel absolutely the same about Artifact. Like, if you're not actually playing... I know already so much. I read and watched so many YouTube videos, but I never played a game of Artifact. So for me, it's so hard to follow what is going on in the game.
It is a little hard to follow. I'll give you that. Because, again, like you have three different lanes that are full screen. So whenever you switch lanes, it's full screen. Like, the whole lane is, like, full screen. It's not like you're playing three lanes at the same time and you can see all three of them. So it will be kind of hard to follow. Like I don't disagree with you there. They have a challenge there spectator wise.
I wonder how Hearthstone feels for people that never played Hearthstone and just watch a game of Hearthstone for the first time. Like how, if they have like some rough understanding what is going on, I feel like with Hearthstone,
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it's pretty clear that you kill the guy, you know, there's another guy, like another hero that you're killing. And it's pretty straightforward. I would I would say, right?
Like, because you see this, that like when someone equips a weapon, let's say Garrosh equips a Borex and he has free attack, and then it attacks a free health minion, yeah, and then it dies. I think even if you have absolutely no clue about the game,
yeah,
you can just see what's going on.
Yeah, this is that's why Hearthstone's so brilliant, right? Like, that's why the UI, the feel, the you know, just every that kind of aspect of the game is like the best. I mean, it's hard to imagine a game that's actually better than Hearthstone in that regard, you know, the animations and just how it feels that way. I don't think, from what I've seen of Artifact, it doesn't have that kind of feel. Like, I don't feel as good like controlling the game, you know, and throwing the cards down. I don't have that the same sensation when I'm playing Artifact. But you know, again, it takes some time, you know, like it takes a while to actually get used to playing another game too. And you know, to really be fair, you have to give it as much dedication, you know, as you have with Hearthstone to be able to judge it. But for sure, the complexity is there. You know, like if you like more complex card games, I mean, I think that, you know, it's there. And that means, you know, I think the skill difference will be, you know, just a little bit wider because of that reason. You know, like the good players will be, you know, noticeably better than say, you know, your, I don't know, even just like your legend player, like a top legend player is going to be way better, way, 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 way better than like a regular legend player, you know, there, whatever's equivalent to it in Artifact. So, it's kind of crazy. It's only 3 months from now. I totally didn't realize that. It makes sense given that they're promoting the hell out of it now. In the first tournament, isn't it like huge? It's like $1 million price. Man. That's crazy.
I did some maths. It's like, if I would go to every single HCT tour stop,
yeah,
it would take me 4.5 years just to play for the same prize pool than won the first Artifact.
That's crazy. But anyways, there's some questions in here. Getting back to getting off of Artifact, where Valentine is not an Artifact podcast, but West
coming
for you
soon.
Too. Yeah, exactly. Are you guys surprised at the number of Mechatune decks in APAC playoffs?
How many were there?
Yeah, actually, I didn't realize there are that many. But you mean just generally speaking, the fact that there are a bunch, yes.
I would say
the answer is yes.
I'm surprised. Yeah.
I don't even have to know. But the fact that there are some, yes, definitely surprised, because I don't know. Like, the best Mechathune deck I've seen is the Strifecrow one, you know, and it's been probably modified just a little bit since then, and it wasn't that. You know, it wasn't that good. You know, I mean, it was good for a brief period when nobody knew what, you know, what to do against or whatnot. But in this kind of fast meta, that's pretty terrible, isn't it? Isn't the Mechathune deck god awful against aggro?
Yeah, it's very similar to Questro. I feel like it doesn't matter that much what kind of anti-control deck you play. It's just like a deck that is built to aggro and just hard counter every control deck. But Questrog is just like a better option. But if you want to go full anti-control, it's hard to find decks that are as good as Questrog. So you always have like these worst decks. And I guess Mechatune decks are like next best anti-control deck after Togwagon and Questrog.
All right. So
like, what else do we have? Like Deathrattle Hunter and then Q-Block as an anti-control deck in our full line of four decks. I guess Mechatune decks are like...
I mean, the Togwaddle decks. I mean, like, we have all those decks, right? Like, it's, there's a bunch of them. What do you mean? There's a lot of anti-control decks right now.
But I think that Mechatune makes the cut as top four best.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
If you bring Togwaggle Druid, Deathrattle Hunter, and Questrog, then I can see that you play, like, let's say a Mechatune Priest.
Okay, sure. Let's see. Next question, we got based 120. Do you guys find that this meta is kind of boring? To me, it seems like it's so balanced that it's hard to get an edge, especially outside of Legend where the meta is less defined. Well,
most favorite famous quote is from Strifecrow: if everything is broken, then nothing is broken. If nothing is broken, everything is broken, right?
Well,
what did you want to say?
I think that just discounts, you know, doesn't take into account that there's actually skill in playing these decks, you know, there is actual piloting skills, you know, and I think that's just hard to tell right now. Something we're working on, we'll be, you know, have something at some point. But you know, right now it's hard to tell. So like when you just kind of look, you know, go to HS Replay and you just kind of look and you see like, oh, that deck's 52%. Oh, that deck's 52% too. Oh, that one's 51.9. It just seems like all the same, but it's not. Just like you talked about Shadowwalk Shaman earlier, right, Gara? Huge difference mm-hmm. between the good players and the bad players. And yeah, so anyways, my point is absolutely you can get an edge just by being a better player, right? You just have to do that. You're not going to necessarily get an edge by just the deck you pick. Otherwise, you know, everybody can do it. So,
but I also don't feel like right now I can just pick a deck which I enjoy playing and I will do well. So you're kind of like forced into playing.
Yeah, but that's asking a lot, though. Like having the meta be in a spot where you, yeah, I just want to pick a deck.
No, it's about the boarding aspect. It's actually a very interesting question because last month I was bored because I felt like forced to play Questrogue or Druid.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So, and I don't want to play these decks, but if I want to perform well, I have to play these decks. So that was boring to me. But right now, because I did well with Temple Mage and Shadowwalk Shaman, those are decks I enjoy. I'm not bored right now. But it's interesting to see that people call them, even though you saw we have 20 tier 2 decks, the people have the impression of it being boring.
That's why I was asking you that question earlier. Is this a good thing that we have that many and people are kind of getting used to it now?
I would have used like every adjective, but not boring, you know? It's just like we have 50 playable archetypes.
Yeah, that's a good
point. Pretty boring, right?
That's a good point. Yeah. It's like, do you like losing? I mean, it's like you've got a choice of 25 decks to play that actually win. You know, if you don't win, it's probably your fault that you're not winning.
That sounds pretty boring.
Yeah. So there's a lot to play. So I guess to answer your question, no, I don't think it's boring right now. In fact, I don't. It's pretty hard to imagine again, like a meta that's better than in terms of like how many decks we can play than we've seen in the last two expansions. Now, I think we've forgotten how bad it used to be when we only had four decks to play. Like that's it. Yeah.
I will never forget like Tuska Totemic and Yogg-Saroth. Yeah. Never. It's impossible. He plays coins Tuska, gets like Totem Golem and then
I mean, it wasn't even that long ago, like Q-Block, you know, and Jade Druid. And I mean, that's not that long ago. Like those decks were all like, or even just Aggro Pally. Aggro Pally was like number one for, man, I don't even know how many months in 2017. So, so let's see. Another question here. Anything? All right, last chance questions, and then we might actually wrap up a little bit earlier this today than we normally do. I gotta get to a dinner after this anyways. This is my birthday today. Oh my god, Aggro Pally was annoying as so it's not annoying right now.
You don't face a lot of them.
I've been playing a bunch recently. I don't know about everybody else, but
I think I think it's very important how frequent you face a deck for it to be annoying or not, right? So if you like, it's the same with Shadowwalk Shaman. I think losing to Shadowwalk Shaman is incredibly frustrating, but when you face it like once every 50 games,
it's not bad.
And you're like, who cares? It's the same with Questrogue, right? It's like this frustration comes when you play Baku Warrior and every fourth or third matchup is a Questrogue. Then you just want to throw the screen out of the window. But if it's like once every 20 games, then you're like, whatever, right? Like frequency is so important.
Yeah. And again, that's why you have to kind of look at, again, this chart, this popularity chart is so important. It's another plug for premium, but it is. I use this table a ton. This table and then going straight to the matchups. That's like literally my formula for figuring out what to play when I want to counter the meta and not just, you know, play what's on top.
Would you say you improved as a player since using Aegis Reaper?
I mean, if you count like the deck I should be playing and the mulligan guide, I mean, I think that's like huge, like crazy, crazy huge in terms of the results. Probably like, I don't know, you know, I don't play a ton these days, but I probably get around, you know, like 1500 legend or something like that. I'd probably be just barely in legend if I didn't use it. And I probably struggle to get to legend a lot harder than I do these days. So, Yeah, I think it makes a giant difference. I think if somebody that's like rank 3 like regularly, I think they can get to legend. Like, to be honest, if they pick the right decks and they know how to mulligan, I bet you they get to legend like pretty regularly. Wouldn't you say, Gar? Like, just that's so important, right? Like playing the right deck in the meta, and then
yeah, because I get this is probably the most common question I get is like, what is the best deck to get legend to? Well, it depends, right? Like if people would use HS replay or like know how to use HS replay, they would know it. Like it changes every day. Like right now money goes through it, also, and it changes on every server.
It changes on your region. Look at the different regions. Well, China's the most different. Look at China. Holy crap, China's like way different. We don't have quite as many games in China, but still, look at this. It's like, look at their the Gar should be playing in China. That's just what George Card's been playing in China. That's pretty much what it is. Yeah, exactly. But look at, you know, Europe and Asia and America are generally not too far off. But yeah, the different regions, man.
Yeah, it's very different. And it depends on like on time of the day and on which server you play and on which rank you are. Like if you are, if you go from rank 7 to 5, like I actually did like one run completely HS replay. It, like as soon as I climbed one rank, HS replay shows a different deck.
So like you're going for something like you're saying, right? 7 is like
And I did that. Like I climbed with like, you have to imagine it was like crazy because I went with 80% win rate with Control Warlock from like rank 5 to 2, and then HS replay told me to play Even Shaman, right? And it's such a weird thing. I have such a good win rate, and now this wants me to switch to Even Shaman. And then I did it, and then I had an insane win rate with Even Shaman.
Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Right?
Yes, okay, go ahead. Exactly. It's so
like rank 4 to rank 3. Oh my god!
You should do the experiment, the HS replay climb. Just play the T1 deck. HS replay tells you to play whenever you climb a rank. Switch.
Yep.
I think this is a problem. You see, look, from rank 3 to rank 1.
Yeah,
it's huge, all 3 floors, completely different best decks.
Yeah, I mean, generally, Secret Hunter is still just good. Well, Secret Hunter, Secret Hunter isn't even anywhere to be found at 2.
But it's also, like, people should have like an open mind and not be like, okay, this is 100% the best deck because HS Reaper tells
me. Yeah, yeah. I mean,
people are using, people having brains as well. Those are like real people you play against.
Yeah.
So it's just to get like a pretty good understanding of what is good and what should be good.
This is like kind of the quick, easy answer if you kind of want that just by going through our meta tiers that way. That's only legend. But if you really want to study it, you can. You can like super study what people are playing, and then you can figure out the matchups, and then you can actually weight some of these. Like, I don't think a lot of people know that about, you know, we can actually go to the matchups and you can kind of weight what you think that you know people are playing, and then it'll give you a different expected win rate for each of these decks. So there's a lot of things, man. There's a lot of things, a lot of different ways you can use this.
And I can tell you from my experience that all the top performing pro players are using this, all of them, every single one.
They are.
Everyone who is performing well, like your Muzzies and your Saints and your Phenos and your Borg Control.
The number of times Borg Control just says, just whatever HS replay says.
Because stats don't lie. And these are like the best stats we have.
Outside of Blizzard, of course, but that's what we do, right? Like we're trying to give you guys the best, you know, really look into just the meta. The meta is a fascinating thing. You know, like before you could see any kind of stats, the meta was just like this kind of magical thing. You literally were just guessing off of whatever small sample size you played. You know, this is back when people were doing their own spreadsheets, you know, and trying to record all their matches. And then you would just kind of get like, What was your record, you know, playing 50 games with this kind of deck? And, you know, it's not accurate at all, you know? So the fact that we can kind of see a tangible meta, you know, and seeing it change, I mean, that's the crazy fascinating thing to me, you know, in terms of you know, HS replay and being, you know, really seeing and being part of it, you know, it's really, really amazing. Okay, let's see, maybe one more thing. Oh, go ahead.
Back in 2012 when Gar was winning tournaments.
Gar had his spreadsheet we ruined Gar's career. It's basically what he just replayed ruined Gar's career.
That's my favorite meme, by the way. The last time Gar won a tournament was 2012. It's like, it's so perfect.
Yeah. All right, Wes, for you, ask another question. Do you guys feel like the lack of good tribe synergy decks, like Elemental Dragon, Pirate, Morlock, is there, I guess, do we feel like there's a lack of good tribe synergy? I don't even know that the best mech deck is, what even the best mech deck is right now, Warrior?
What is a mech? Like, there's no real mech. Did people just put a bunch of mechs in their decks, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's an Omega Assembly. That's pretty much what you're forced to actually play the... No.
Mech Warrior.
Yeah. Nobody... Oh, well, but the nice thing is, like, you don't actually have to include mechs in your deck because there are cards that draw mechs. You know, it's like what we were saying about Tarum. It's like, you don't even have to have Tarum because Stonehill Defender draws Tarum, like, a lot of times. I think that's kind of what we're seeing. That's why we don't see mech decks.
From a game design perspective, it's extremely smart, interesting, but also stupid at the same time, right? Because some outcomes are so much better than other ones, right? There's like this getting Rin from Stonehill is so dumb, or Sunkeeper Terims. But in general, it's such a cool idea to have these powerful cards that give you these bad cards. So all these bad cards see competitive play, right? Mm-hmm. All these bad taunt minions. Every basically taunt minion in the game is relevant just because of Stonehill Defender.
Yeah.
It's very good to have these cards. But yeah, only like the balance point is like that you can get Lich Kings and stuff. It's
really scary. I mean, the question really wasn't about Stone. It was more about just synergy. And I think that like the cards that tribal synergy, it's, you know.
Related to that question is that we don't have to play like back in the days these super synergy decks, right? Right now we can have these hybrid mech decks. Like Hunter is playing like a few mechs. Odd Warrior is playing a few mechs, or just Omega Assembly to get these mechs. Is that like a good thing now that we have these hybrid synergies? Or like, you know, when they go all out on the synergy, like the hand buff mechanic. So if it's not good, it will not see any play at all. Like right now you have these cards that it's like you have these synergies, but you don't have to go all out on the synergy. Would you say it's a good thing or is it a bad thing?
Yeah, it's, I think it's, It's kind of hard to say because I think there's the whole tribal synergy thing, to your point, is that it's very simple. You know, like most of the time, if there's a tribal synergy like elementals, for instance, like you know what to put in your deck. If you're going to build an elemental deck, there's not very many things to choose from shaman wise or whatever. You just literally throw in all those cards and that's like your deck. And for the most part, it's just curvestone. You know, like curvestone, some of these cards have more value than, you know, and probably a good thing right now is that Curvestone isn't good enough to be good. Otherwise, it would be super boring. Like, that literally wouldn't require that much skill. So,
it would be cool to have, like, synergy spell cards. Because we only had minions so far.
Like what?
Like, if you played a certain spell, that you have, like, a more powerful spell.
Oh, so, like, a spell stone, but with spells, I guess, kind of thing? Yeah. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Because like you said, all the synergy decks are just curve decks.
Yeah.
Really boring.
So, I mean, you know, I think the last good one was probably Murloc, right? And, you know, Murloc was basically Zoo for Paladin. Yeah. I mean, that's basically all it is.
Curve stuff.
Yeah. And I like Zoo now. Like I like what Zoo is now. Because it...
Except Happy Ghoul, Kalissa.
I mean, even that. I mean, it's like... It has moments of explosion, but... It's not crazy.
On average, it's okay.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
From a tournament perspective, like you don't want to go to a tournament to lose because of that.
Oh, I see. Like the high rolling kind of thing. Yeah,
it's super stupid.
Okay. But, I like the design of Mech Paladin. Yeah, Mech Paladins. I mean, I like the way Mech Paladins played. I mean, I actually do like it. It's just it's not strong enough. You know, that's the only issue with it. But I do like, you know, elements of mech being in Paladin. Paladin has a lot of tools that actually makes things sticky, a lot more sticky. So that's definitely good. Let's see. But a tournament player shouldn't... So Gotrix asks, but a tournament player shouldn't use HS Replay, right? To remember the cards left in the deck in a tournament, he can't use Deck Charter. Oh, okay. So that's one miss... I don't know. Maybe people have a misconception about that. So, you know, HS Replay is not necessarily the deck tracker. You know what I mean? Like, think of it like this. The deck tracker, Hearthstone deck tracker and HS tracker, depending if you're using Mac or not. And those are basically companion apps for HS Replay. So, you know, we need those apps to, you know, to actually push the replays to HS replay so that we can, you know, decipher the stats and everything like that. But a lot of people use the deck tracker part of it too, which is like, you know, the showing of the decks. And I mean, there's even stats too, you know, the Hearthstone deck tracker keeps a lot of stats too that you don't currently see on HS replay as well. So, and that was because the Hearthstone deck tracker was built first. HS replay came later. HSReplay.net came later in terms of the, you know, the life cycle of the company right now, or just the product and everything. So, yeah, to answer your question, yeah, they should absolutely use HS replay because HSReplay.net is just the stats. The deck tracker, you can just turn it off. Like, you don't have to not use the deck tracker. You can literally just turn off the window, like, or turn off the overlay, and you don't have to see it. So it's not an either or type of thing. Easily, you can turn that off in settings. Maybe we should show people a little better. Okay, looks like Wes likes your idea about the spells, which is cool. Yeah, when are you going to be on Streamer Showdown? Yeah, one of these days we need to get you on Streamer Showdown, man. That'd be fun. How would you do on Streamer Showdown? I always like am very wary of pro players because you guys don't know anything about the game except for, well, you might because you know WoW like really well.
It's crazy that like most of the players don't know the name of a card and like the voice line like of the cards that you play every day.
Oh man.
Every day you play a card, you play Druid. Like, if you ask Fino like about every card name, like the specific card name of Druid, and he plays only Druid, and he knows like he wouldn't know half of it.
I know, so it's crazy. I mean, I was like literally watching Ray C this a couple of days ago or whatever on Geico because he was like co-casting with Dr. J towards the end, and he was calling like cards, I mean, all kinds of names because he didn't know what any of them were. It was pretty, like, Fungalmancer is calling Mushroom Dude, and like, yeah, these guys would be terrible at Streamer Showdown. So, yeah, so how's your knowledge? Your knowledge is good, right?
I'm just bad with names, that's my problem.
Oh, well, like, God. Okay.
Like, but in general, like, I'm bad with names. It's just how my brain works, I don't know. Like, I forget even, like, famous people that, you know, regularly, even though I know them,
old,
I
man.
Visualize them.
Getting old.
No, it's just, I think I always had that problem.
Yeah.
Because I remember, like, very useless stuff. I'm very good at remembering extremely niche facts, and I can remember them for the rest of my life. It's just weird.
I'm just generally not great at remembering things. But, okay, well, we got to get one question. I've been trying to avoid some of these, but Kiwi Acer, this is the token Quest Rogue question. Do you think Quest Rogue is still a problem despite all the nerfs it's had? We answered it last week. TLDR.
Gara is the best Quest Rogue player. Watch my stream /Twitch.tv/ Garbage Summon.
I mean, I think it is, but it's not going to look like it is, because especially right now when you have all the decks that counter Quest Rogue being good. So, but the reason why they're being played so much is partially because of Quest Rogue too. I'd like to see them change it even more. I don't know what it would be, you know, let them figure out what it would be, but, still don't love it. Let's see, Star, the kind of thing they do is Star. Oh yeah. Star gives Reluna. Okay. Well, I think that's about it, guys. I don't think there's any more questions I didn't see. Why don't we wrap up? You know, this has been fun show, the two of us. It's always nice to just do shows like with the two of us every once in a while. I mean, we love our guests. Of course, we're always going to get our guests, but I don't know. It just feels more like conversational, at least for me, because I'm usually having to just worry about just wherever the conversation is going and stuff like that. So, This is obviously more natural when I'm just like talking to you. It's like we're talking pre-show or post-show. It's a lot easier. But anyways, you want to do some shout-outs, Gar, before we take off? Anything?
Shout-outs to all my social media. I'm very active on every social media for months. I stream every single day. Twitch.tv/GarbageShaman. Follow me on Instagram.
What do you take pictures? I need to see this Instagram. Where's your Instagram? Let me see
this. It's super cool. Check out my Instagram.
It's GarbageShaman? Is it the same thing?
I don't know if it's my real name, but my real name is on my Twitter.
You don't even know your Instagram account, dude? Come on.
No, I don't know, because I use Gara Beshaman everywhere, but I don't know if I use my real name on my Instagram. It could be.
Is that you? whey protein. Dude, your Instagram is your workout. This is like all workout pictures, man.
I mean, yeah. Follow me on Instagram. And it's super awesome.
Look at this.
Dude, this is so sick. Dude. This is the best stream ever. Dude. Oh my God. People are saying this is the best Instagram. Dude, this is the best Instagram. Follow me on Instagram.
Okay, follow him on Instagram, guys. It's Gara Best Shaman. Definitely follow him there.
I'm not so long on Instagram, but my Instagram is already Gara Best Instagram.
Yeah, I never got into Instagram. I'm so bad at taking pictures and remembering. Yeah. And
everyone is on Instagram.
I know, but I'm so
bad. It's crazy. I'm so bad. Like, I realized it last year. That everyone, like people that don't know Twitch are on Instagram.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Not know Twitch, the website that it exists are still on Instagram.
Yeah.
That's, every celebrity is on Instagram.
Instagram's huge. I mean, they have the whole stories thing too, which is, you know.
But gamers don't use Instagram.
I think some do. It's definitely underrated in the gaming space, but I mean, I think folks that are successful in it, they like do super well too. But,
but it's logical if you think about it. If someone sits in front of his computer 14 hours a day, doesn't go anywhere, what are you going to post on Instagram?
Yeah, it's true. You know? It takes a talent too. You know, people that are really good with, I mean, it's not even just Instagram. It's like Twitter and social media generally. Like, you just kind of see the world a little differently, you know, or you work at it. You know, like you're really working at like posts and doing good ones, and I'm just not great at that. I'm just not good at that. So sometimes I'm just kind of like, it is what it is. But anyways, follow him there, guys. Follow him on Twitter, Tempo Gara, of course. Roundings out. Thanks everybody. Thanks for the birthday wishes in the chat too. And thanks Gara for doing the show. You can follow the show at twitter.com/valuetownGG. And you can find the VODs at youtube.com/hsreplaynet. And then you can also find the show on all the audio channels you want to listen to on the way to work or whatever, on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. SoundCloud.com/ChamanV2 if you want to just search for Valuetown, search for Hearthstone. You'll find us. Leave us a review if you enjoy the show, because it helps folks find a podcast if they want to find an awesome Hearthstone podcast too. But guys, that's going to be it for the show this week. For Gar and myself, Jimmy MB, we'll see you next week.